Matthew chapter 7 and verse, Matthew chapter number 7, several statements are made here by Jesus that are just incredible and profound, and he speaks quite a bit here in this chapter about judgment and what is true and what is right and what is not. But I don't know if there are verses that ever shook me more to my core than the ones we're going to read this morning, and I'll share a little bit of my testimony with you this morning about why this was so so impactful to me. In Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21, the Word of God says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day," referring to the day of judgment when they stand before him, "Lord, Lord," you ready? "Have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works?" Boy, we imagine that's going to be a great day of judgment to be able to say, "Lord, we've prophesied, we've preached in your name, we've cast out devils in your name, and in your name we've done many wonderful works." Yet this verse shook me for this next verse, verse 23, this reason. "And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." In Matthew chapter 7, verse number 21 through verse number 23, we have a group of people who are as close to heaven and still go to hell as you can get. And I'd like to just preach this morning on the subject, missing heaven by 18 inches. Missing heaven by 18 inches. Thank you for standing for the reading of God's Word. You can be seated. I'll go ahead and pray. We'll get right into the message. And you'll want to pay attention, because I have a pastry here this morning. And a pastry that, for perhaps maybe the only time that I can think of, that will serve a spiritual significance in our life. All right? So let's pray and we'll get right into the message. Thank you again, Lord, for the chance to be here. Thank you for loving us enough to give us your word, loving us enough to send Jesus Christ to pay the price for us on the cross. I pray now that you'd speak to our hearts, and I ask for the help and the strength and the power of the Holy Spirit of God, without which, Lord, I know I can do nothing. I pray for those who are here this morning who need to be saved. I pray that today would be the day of salvation for them, that their hearts would not be hardened. I pray no one would leave here today that will experience what we just read in Matthew chapter 7. I pray no one will leave here today who will be able to stand before you and say, "Lord, Lord, we knew about you, and we knew we even did things for you. But here you say, depart from me, I never knew you." So I pray that every person here this morning would leave here with the confidence and assurance that they are entering into the kingdom of heaven, that they are your child. And Lord, I pray that you would just work in our hearts. We ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. In Matthew chapter 7 and verse number 21, Jesus takes us to a glimpse of what the day of judgment is going to be like. Now, according to the Bible, there are two different judgments that happen. There is one that's called the judgment seat of Christ, and then there is another judgment that's called the great white throne judgment. At the judgment seat of Christ, those people who know Christ as Savior are judged according to their works. And the Bible says that rewards are given out. I don't want to get into too in-depth on this, but I also believe rebuke is given out there as well. Shortly after that, God wipes away all tears from our eyes. And I can't imagine that when I stand before the Lord to have the works that I've done, I'm going to walk away just pumping my fists. I imagine I'm going to have some sadness and some shame over areas that I knew I should have used time better and redeemed time better, and gifts that I may have squandered and opportunities that I may have lost. But I'll stand before the Lord, and on that day, the books will have been opened and my name will be found in it, written in the Lamb's Book of Life, because I know Christ is my Savior, and all of my sins will be covered under the blood of Jesus Christ. I'll be redeemed and in heaven justified forever. It'll be a wonderful day, and I'll be glad at the result of it. However, there is another judgment that takes place, and this is the judgment that we get to read about here called the Great White Throne Judgment. The Great White Throne Judgment takes place where all of men's works are also judged, but ultimately they are judged on whether or not their name is found written in the Book of Life. The Book of Life contains the names of every person who has accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior and knows that they are saved. In fact, Matthew 7:21 gives you the summary of it. It says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven." Well, what is the will of God that has to be done for us to go to heaven? Well, 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 9 tells us what God's will is. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish." In other words, it is not God's will that any should perish in their sins, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so what is the will of God for all of us? It's that we would come to repentance. The Bible tells us elsewhere, God, who will have all men everywhere to be saved, you can be sure of this, God has a purpose for your life, and that which he wants from your life is for you to come to the place of repentance toward God and faith toward Jesus Christ, and he wants you to come to the place where you put your trust in him and you get saved. And so in Matthew chapter number 7, it tells us that those that do the will of God are going to be in heaven. Those who have come to the place of repentance and faith are going to be in heaven, but there are going to be another group of people who we would be almost sure would be in heaven. And in Matthew chapter number 7, I want to point out to you that these people are in hell, or they will be in hell, and yet this is their testimony. Verse number 21 says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord." Notice that they address God by his proper name. Did you know there are going to be people in hell who know who God is? There are going to be people in hell who not only know who God is, but they know that he has sent his son, and his son's name is Jesus Christ. No, the Bible says on the day of judgment, they're going to say, "Lord, Lord." They're not going to say, "Who are you?" Now, there are going to be people who did not believe there was a God, and they are in for an incredibly sad discovery upon the final breath in earth when they recognize that there is indeed a God and that the Bible was true and that the witness of the Holy Spirit in their heart was conviction and true and right. But these people are not those that would call themselves atheists or agnostics. These are people who believe there was a God. In fact, in Matthew 7 and verse number 21, I dare say there are going to be thousands and thousands and tens of thousands of people who sat in a church service just like this and opened a Bible, maybe even just like you have. And yet on the day of judgment, they're going to see the Lord and they're going to call him by name and say, "No, I know who you are. Lord, Lord, have we not?" And they begin to go into these things. "Not everybody that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven." That means this: you can know who God is and still be lost. You can know that Jesus Christ is his son and still be lost. You can believe that the Bible is true and still be lost. I know it's true because that was me. That was me. You can believe that the church is the hope for mankind and still be lost. If I were to ask you to give me the names of the 12 disciples, there are going to be people in hell who could tell you the names of all 12 disciples. And by the way, there are people in church this morning that can't tell me the names of all 12 disciples. Here's a hint. It's not Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. All right, you know, Mark and Luke, they're out. Matthew and John are in. But there are people in hell who know a lot about the Bible. There are people in hell who help point other people to heaven. Think about that. There are people in hell who gave their lives and were called missionaries. There are people in hell, I believe this firmly, who were called pastor by people. I have seen pastors of churches recognized that they were not lost and need to get saved. Pastors' wives recognized they were lost, need to be saved. Deacons recognized they were lost and need to be saved. Deacons' wives recognized they were lost, need to be saved. Sunday school teachers recognized they were lost and need to be saved. Youth directors recognized they were lost, need to be saved. Evangelists, the fact is that you can know an awful lot about the Bible. And in fact, verse number 22 goes on to say, many will say to me in that day, not one or two, but how many? Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And so there will be people who have proclaimed and stated truth in the name of the Lord that are going to hear, depart from me, I never knew you. You can preach a sermon and still be lost. Not only that, it says in verse number 22, in thy name have cast out devils. Now, I don't particularly like to get into matters of the occult. I think it's something that's probably intriguing to us, but I think it tends to engender. I just don't like inviting those kinds of things. It's needless to say, there is still demon possession that takes place and demon oppression that takes place. I went to Western Oklahoma, and I was helping to get our church started, and my very first week door knocking in a small town in Western Oklahoma, or at least within my first month, I had my wife with me. I know she remembers this. We'll never forget this, as long as God gives us our faculties. I knocked on the door. I could tell you to where the house was. I could tell you the street. I can still take you to it. I drive by it, and I still remember it. And a guy opened the door, and as sure as I am that I'm here, that man was demon-possessed. And while I tried to talk to him, he locked his eyes on my wife, and it looked like the soul was almost gone from his eyes. And I stepped between him and my wife and tried talking to him. I said, hi, I'm from... And while I handed him the track, I started thinking, maybe I don't want to hand him the track. I don't know. This is creepy. And I tried talking to him. The guy was just almost vacant, checked out. And he even said, you know, I would be saved, but I can't. I can't. It's a real thing. There are some people who will have, in the name of Christ, rebuked demon-possessed people, cast out devils, and still die and go to hell. What does it mean? It means you can know truth and not be saved. You can say truth, prophesy, and not be saved. He goes on to say, you can serve the Lord, cast out devils, and not be saved, and in thy name done many wonderful works, and not be saved. How does that happen? Because verse number 23 makes it very clear, there is no indication here, and nor is there anywhere in the Bible, that these are people who were saved and lost it, because you can't. Any more than you could get unborn. You get born into the family of God. That's a birth that happens, doesn't get undone. All the Father hath given shall come to me, and he that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. These are people who, when they stand before God, he didn't say, I used to know you. He said, I never knew you. Who are these people? Answer is, these are people who were just like me. I was raised in a good, good home with good parents. And my good parents always made sure they brought me to church. I had one problem growing up. I had a drug problem. And that's that I got drugged to church Sunday morning, drugged to church Sunday night, drugged to church Wednesday night. I mean, they drugged me to church all the time. They never asked me if I wanted to go. They didn't say, are you feeling it today, bud? No, they made sure when it was time for church, I was there. And they brought me to church. They didn't ask me. My dad drove a bus, so we had to get to church early. And he didn't say, hey, son, do you want to be my runner? He said, you're my runner. So when I stop and open the door, you run. He didn't let me walk to the door. He made me run to the door. I had to run. He'd go, hurry it up, hustle up, run, run, run. He'd honk the horn, not for anybody, but for me. I mean, he'd just make me run. I'd run back, get on the... And so I would go to church. I would help. As a kid, I went to Sunday school. I heard all the Sunday school lessons and quarterlies. In fact, when the teacher would start to open the lesson after a few years, I'm like, yeah, I know this one. I know where this one's going. I've been here and done that before. The preacher would say, open your Bible to Matthew chapter number 7. I go, oh, yeah, I've heard on this one before. The straight gate, broad, narrow, the way, and I just knew it. I was exposed to truth. I knew the truth, and I had a Bible similar to this kind of Bible, and inside of my Bible, on the very front of the Bible, there was a little note that had been written in there, and it was written in my mom's handwriting, and it had a date, and it said, on this date, David Corley accepted Christ as his Savior. I was 7 years old. I did the math. Anytime I would hear a message about the importance of getting saved or anything else, I just thought, I know I'm saved because my Bible says I'm saved, and my mom wrote it in there, and my mom wouldn't lie. Sure of it. 7 years old, it was written there in her handwriting. And every now and then I'd hear a message about hell. And by the way, there is a real hell just as much as there is a real heaven. And just as much as there's a place of eternal rejoicing, there is a place of eternal suffering. And I'd hear that message and get the reminder that the smoke of their torment ascends forever and ever, and that there is no rest, and that there are people who are perpetually in pain wishing to be delivered with their memory and their knowledge yet suffering forever. And I think, I don't want to go there, but no, there's no way I'm going to go there. I know all about the Bible. I know all about church. I know how to run a bus. I could tell you how Sunday school lessons end. And inside of this Bible, it tells me that I got saved. I have to be saved. Right. 10 years old, I'd get convicted. Think maybe I'm not saved. No, I have to be saved. 12 years old, I remember feeling conviction. You need to get saved. No, I have to get saved. I was 12 years old. I knew all the lessons. I had just gotten into the youth group, and I knew about the Bible. If people asked me questions, I could do it. I could quote verses of Scripture. I knew the Romans Road. I would go out on soul winning, and I would tell other people how to get saved. I knew. In fact, I remember being 13 years old, knocking on the door of an adult and leading an adult to Christ. And it wasn't the first time that it happened. I remember high-fiving people, telling them about people getting saved, and then I'd get conviction from the Lord about this and say, you need to get saved. No, I have to be saved. I know so much. I have to. I know Jesus died on the cross. I know Jesus is the Savior. I believe the Bible's the Word of God. No, I have to be saved. And so about 13, 14 years old, conviction would come again. And so in desperation one night, I did this. I just felt conviction. I knew something was wrong. And so I said, Lord, if I'm not saved, save me. Like, that ought to cover it. Lord, if I'm not saved, save me. That's it. I should do the job. Ask the Lord to save me if I'm not saved. About 6 months later, conviction came heavy on my life again. And I thought, well, I don't know, it seems like I'm not saved. And so I said, well, Lord, I already asked you before, but if I'm not saved, save me. Well, that'll triple cover it now. Should be in great shape. Conviction would happen. I think, no, I have to be saved. Everybody thinks I'm saved. My mom says I'm saved. My Bible says I'm saved. I've got to be saved. 15 years old, I heard a message preached. I knelt to go pray. And the Holy Spirit convicted my heart again. I said, you need to get saved. I said, well, I got to be saved. It says in my Bible when I was 7, I got saved. It says that I accepted Christ as my Savior. And the Holy Spirit just prompted my heart with this. What do you remember about that? And honestly, nothing. I didn't remember anything about it. I don't know if somebody just said something and I nodded my head. I don't know if they asked me to repeat a prayer and I repeated it. I don't know if they just prayed and told me I was good. Because, by the way, people do all those things. I don't think that's wise, but people do all those things. And, I've even had people say, just take my hand and shake my hand. And that's not what the Bible teaches us to do. It tells us that we're supposed to call upon the name of the Lord to be saved. And so I didn't know any of that. And I said, well, I don't remember anything about the day, but I know so much about it, and I believe what's true. Surely I'm saved. Surely I'm saved. And the truth was, at that point, at 15 years old, I was 18 inches from heaven. I knew everything that I needed to know. I know that Jesus died on the cross. I knew that he was buried. I knew that he rose again the third day. I believed that he was alive. I believed that God's word was true. I believed he would save you if you put your faith in him. But the Bible doesn't say as many know him. It says as many as received him. To them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And faith is not just simply knowing. It's acting on what we know. It's receiving him. And even though I knew Jesus had died on the cross, I had never personally put my faith and trust in him. I told other people to do it. I thought that I had. But when the Spirit began to convict me, I realized that I was lost. And this is what the Holy Spirit said. Don't you think if you got saved, you'd remember? And I didn't really have a good answer for that. Now, there are people who get saved when they are kids, and they don't struggle with this. My wife asked the Lord to save her when she was 4 years old, remembers it, has never doubted it. I'm married to her, and I've never doubted it. She knows the Lord. I know people who have at 10 done this and recognize, I didn't even know what I was doing. I didn't understand what was happening. I need to get saved. The age in which you did is not what matters. I think that the Bible says that from a child you can know the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise to salvation. And I also believe salvation is very simple because a child can know it. And we're supposed to become like little children to enter into the kingdom of heaven. It's very simple. It's just a matter of this. Has there been a time in your life where you have accepted Christ, you've placed your faith in Him, you've transferred your trust, you're leaning on Him, and you put your faith and your trust in Him? Has there been a time in your life when you've done that? Those in Matthew chapter 7, verse number 22, never did. They knew what was true. They told others what was true. They did things that were good. They looked like Christians. They talked like Christians. They sounded like Christians. And there are some of you in here this morning who, if you're honest with God, that's your testimony. Nobody may look at you and be praying for you to get saved, but there's never been a point where you have put your own faith in Christ and been saved. Maybe you grew up in a good home, maybe you didn't. Maybe somebody talked to you and gave you the gospel, or maybe you read on your own. But until you come to the place where you put your faith in Jesus Christ and you get saved, you will be forever lost. And here is the danger. This is back to the pastry now. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 3. Here's the danger. And this is how you get from Matthew 7 22, how you get to standing before God, prophesying in His name, casting out devils in His name, and in His name doing many wonderful works, yet hearing, "Depart from me, I never knew you." Here's how. Hebrews chapter number 3. Hebrews chapter number 3, verse number 7. "Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if ye will hear His voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation, in the day of temptation, in the wilderness." Jump down with me to verse number 13. "But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." Verse 15. "While it is said, today, if ye will hear His voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation." The answer is that it is possible to get a hard heart. How does a hard heart happen? Back to the pastry. Probably this morning this got made. It was in a pan, it was in a tin, so it looks legit, all right? I don't think this came from the store. I think this was somebody's home, I think. Yes? Okay, good. When this thing got pulled out of the oven, it was soft and delicious. And not nutritious, but delicious, all right? And it was fantastic. And everything on it was great. And by the way, it still is. I can squeeze it and want to eat it. But here's what I can promise you has happened since this morning to now. It's not quite as soft now as it was then. It's been left out. You know what causes bread to go hard? Exposure. Air. That's why you put the bread back in the bag and you twirl it all up and you put the twisty tie on it, because the more it's exposed to air, the harder it gets. By the way, that's not the only thing that works that way. You got cereal. I got kids. My kids love cereal. I love cereal, okay, if we're being honest. But well, what do you do after you eat cereal? You mash that bag back down closed, right? You don't leave the top open. Dave, you paying attention in church? You don't leave the top open. Amen. What happens when you do that? That cereal begins to get hardened and it begins to get stale. It loses the qualities of freshness that are desirable to it. And bread that comes out soft, by tomorrow, this thing's going to start clink, 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 clink when you hit it down against a solid surface. And if you give it a few days, it's going to lose all of it. It's just going to be completely hard as could be. Your heart can do the same thing. And how does a heart get hardened? Same way. Exposure to truth. The more you hear truth and don't act on it, the harder your heart gets. And so the Bible points back in Hebrews chapter number 3 to when the children of Israel were constantly exposed to truth. They saw the presence of God every day. They were led by the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire. They heard the voice of the Lord. They saw the tables of stone that he had written. I mean, they got to see God at work. Yet, though while they were exposed to it, their heart was still rebellious. They weren't acting. They weren't living by faith. They were murmuring and complaining. And their hearts got hard and hard and hard and hard and hard and hard until the time came where they didn't even trust God enough to act and to do what he told them to do. Their hearts got hard. And by the way, the same things happen when you're a Christian. With your own sin, your heart can get hard to it. And the longer you hold on to sin and you know it's wrong and you don't deal with it, the harder your heart gets. But the same is true, the longer you go lost in your sin, the harder it is for you to get saved. Because your heart gets hard. The conviction that you once felt, the conviction when your heart was tender and when it was soft and when you were willing to hear, now you've gotten pretty good at pushing that conviction aside. There were times where it was hard for you and you had white knuckles during the invitation. You thought, I need to get saved, I need to get saved, I need to get saved. But you held out and didn't get saved. And now it's not so hard. And the longer you go with it, the closer you get to Matthew 7:22 and 23, when the day comes when you stand before God and all the charades are peeled away. And God says, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you. My parents will tell you, I was the best behaved kid in our family. My three other sisters were reprobates and horrible. I wish I was joking. I am. But they were bad. I was a good kid. I was a good kid. My dad told me to do something, I did it. You came the other night, you figured out why. Fear. I did what my dad told me to do. My pastor didn't have me on his prayer list because he was concerned about me. People weren't thinking, oh, that guy's lost, but I was lost. Nobody else knew, but God knew and I knew. And finally, I'm so thankful at 15 years old, I said, I can't handle this anymore. And this is what it came down to. No person was worth me going to hell over. No person was worth me going to hell over. I thought, I'm going to get saved and everybody's going to be so mad at me. They're going to say, you lied to us. You tricked us. How could you do that? You told us you were saved. I was sure of it. I thought the youth director was going to come and go, I'll never trust you again. I thought the pastor would come and say, huh, think you know a guy, huh? Glad you got saved. Can I tell you none of that happened? Every child of God who hears about another person getting saved and their heart's even remotely close to right, they are happy. No, the Bible says there's rejoicing in the presence of the angels. And so I remember it was December 2nd, 8:49 p.m. All this time I wanted to remember it. I knelt down by my bed and I prayed and I said, Lord, I'm a sinner. I know I don't deserve to go to heaven. I know Jesus died on the cross. He said, what about all those if I'm not saved, save me prayers? God told me this, I don't save saved people. I only save lost people. You know, he said, I'm not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And I had to recognize step number one of salvation is I need to get saved. And I humbled my heart before God, me who could quote scripture, me who could give you the Romans road, me who had told other people about how to be saved, me who had even preached a sermon or two before. And I said, Lord, I will die in my sins if you don't save me. I know you sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross for me. I know he paid the price for me. I'm asking you to save me. Lord, if you won't save me, I got no other choice and no other chance, but I'm putting my trust in you. And I wiped the tears from my eyes. I looked up. It was 8:49 p.m. I went out and told my parents, I just got saved. You know what they said? Praise the Lord! My mom didn't say, no. No, she said, praise the Lord. I said, Mom, I didn't remember anything about that time that was written down in my Bible. I tried, but I couldn't think of it. She said, no, honey, I'm glad for you. I told my pastor. He said, glory to God. I told the youth director. He gave me high fives. People came up at church. They were hugging me. The devil lied to me. None of those things that I was fearful about were true. I got baptized again because I'd already been baptized before. I got wet before, but I got baptized for real this time because I had actually been saved. And you know, people were excited about it. The fear and the guilt. Anytime I'd hear a message on hell, I think, oh, I don't want to go there. I think, I'm not going to go there. I remember getting saved. I remember putting my faith in him. I remember asking him to save me. I was there when it happened. What a joy it was to know that anytime after December 2nd, the day of judgment was going to end so much different for me than what it was before. And you may be here this morning, and maybe you've only heard the gospel for the very first time, that Jesus died on the cross for you. Can I tell you what a gift you have? You have the chance to get saved while your heart is tender and while you know it's true and while the Holy Spirit's touching your heart and saying, come to me, come to me. Today, if you'll hear my voice, don't harden your heart. And you got the wonderful privilege to accept Christ as your Savior and not have to worry and not have to wonder and have your sins forever forgiven. But you could be here this morning like me. You could be here this morning like those in Matthew chapter number 7 who did know what's true, who do know who God is, who do know that Jesus Christ is the Savior, but you've never personally accepted him and received him. And if that does not change, then the day will come where you will hear, depart from me, ye that work iniquity, I never knew you. Because neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The Bible says that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue confess of things in heaven, of things on earth, of things under the earth. Every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Jesus saith unto them, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. My question for you is very simple this morning. If you died today, do you know for sure you go to heaven? Do you remember accepting Christ? Maybe you don't know the date and the time like I do. You don't have to. You just need to remember that you did. Amen? You just need to remember you did. The day may come that I may be a little fuzzy on exactly when I got married, but I sure remember getting married. And by you say, when does that day come? Usually around my anniversary. Oh, it's the anniversary. I didn't forget. I just was seeing if you remembered. But I absolutely remember getting married. Absolutely remember getting married. And if you're here today and you don't know Christ as your Savior, I got wonderful news for you. Amen. You can be saved today. By the way, did you know that the Bible only tells us there is only one time to be saved? Today. Today. That's it. That's what he says. Today, if you will hear my voice. Today. When should you get saved? Ready? Today. Today.